Anyway, as we were saying, Sister Corey and Brother Jason came all the way from Japan, her to teach tonight, Brother Jason to speak to us on Sunday. And we are so very thankful for young people that have lived for God all of their lives, given their hearts to God, said, Lord, use me, whatever capacity. And now here we have a couple of missionaries. So thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Sister Corey, come and welcome. We are so glad to have you home.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It feels so good to be home on vacation, and we're just enjoying ourselves and happy to be with family tonight. And just excited about what the Lord is doing here at TOP in Richland. It's so wonderful to see so many new faces and so many familiar. So we're just so happy to be here. We love you so much. And yes, we're just enjoying life. Living for God is the best life you could ever live. And so we're just thanking God for the opportunity to be here. And I thought I'd share a little bit about what we've been doing over the past 6 months. It's been 6 months, but it feels like it's been a long time. And yet, at the same time, it feels like it was just yesterday we were here. So, but thank you to Pastor for the opportunity to speak tonight. And Brother Cliff, if you want to throw up that first picture, I just wanted to let you know that we are working in an area of Japan right now called Akishima, or Fusa area. And we have been interim pastors of a church there called Hajima United Pentecostal Church. And Jason's parents have been on deputation, so we've been kind of filling in for them. So I just have a few pictures. I think I got a PowerPoint and all that, so no problem if it takes some time. But I did want to share tonight that God is in the details of our lives. God cares about the details of our lives. And I don't know if I've ever felt that more strongly than I have in the past 5 months of being in a new country where nobody speaks English. And I've had some conversations with God about, God, I need to know where I can find this in the grocery store, or we're not going to be able to make it. I said, Lord, I need to know how to get money out of the bank, you know. And he has just come through time and time again. And I am convinced that the more we talk to God about the things that are going on in our lives, the more he is ready and willing to show himself mighty on our behalf. And so I'm just thankful for the Lord tonight, thankful to be here. And so I'll just jump in if you're able to. What's up? I'm sorry, I was looking over here. I didn't even see it. So this is just Jason preaching on a Sunday morning at Hajima. We have four services on Sunday. We have International Sunday School, International Service, Japanese Sunday School, Japanese Service. And so if you go to the next picture, it's just our Thursday night midweek Bible studies. And we've been having these. We've been doing some lessons on how we got the Word of God today, how we use it. If you want to go to the next slide. Oh, there it is. So on Thursday nights, a lot of people travel hours to get to service each night because Tokyo is the biggest city in the world. So some people travel over an hour just to come to midweek Bible study. And so we're just so thankful for those that have been able to attend. We've been very blessed. And if you go to the next picture, Jason has been hard at work. He has been going to the dump, doing building work. He's in this picture right now with Brother Yokoyama, our Japanese pastor at the church, and we've got a Japanese truck at the church. But one thing I did want to testify about, just two things that God has done specifically for me that I wanted to share about how he has just been so present in the process. When we got to Japan, I was ready to go into language school, but we arrived too late. We got our visas too late for me to start in the spring. So I have to wait until April of 2024 to start full-time language school. And so I was just praying. I said, God, I really wanted to go to school full-time. I was ready to learn the language. And I just felt, you know what? The Lord has it under control. And about 2 weeks after I was there, a lady rang our doorbell at our house. It was a friend of Jason's and his mom's and a lady who's attended the church. And she saw me. She said, I want to teach Corey Japanese. I thought, wow. And she said, I've taught Japanese for 10 years to English speakers, and I want to teach her Japanese. And I just felt such an answer to prayer, like God knows exactly where we are. And so for the past 4 months. I've been taking Japanese lessons with Nimiko-san, and she's a very tough teacher, but a very good teacher. And so I have made sure to do my homework, and she has kept me on my toes. I think it was 2 weeks ago she gave me a surprise exam, and I did not do so well on my surprise exam, and I think I got a C, actually, on my first test, which, as you all know, was very difficult for me to handle. So the next week, you can be assured I got 100% on my second test. But she's just been wonderful to me and such a blessing, and so that's a wonderful thing. The other thing is that in Japan, they drive on the left side of the road, and I found out once I got there that it is very difficult to get a Japanese driver's license. And I'm used to driving a car and making my own way around town. And so about, what was it, Jason? Was it a month ago, 2 months ago? About a month ago, we thought we're going to start the process. It usually takes about a month. There's multiple exams. And I was just so nervous because they give the exams in Japanese, and I didn't even know left and right yet, how to say left or right. So if the Japanese instructor said left, I would not know which way to go. And so, you know, I was already preparing myself. Well, we started getting research done, and it come to find out, Japan has an agreement with just 5 states in the United States that have complete exemption from all driving exams in their country. And lo and behold, Washington State was one of them. So if you go to the next picture, you can see me getting my driver's license. It still took 4 hours, but we made it. And I just felt the presence of the Lord in that driving center. I thought, God knows exactly where we are, and He cares about the details of our lives. So I just want to say thank you all so much for supporting us, for praying for us, for keeping us in your thoughts and prayers. Our God is so amazing. He's so good to us, so kind to us, and I've just been thanking God every time I get to, you know, get behind the wheel, and I also ask God to help me because the streets are really narrow, but thank God He's been helping me. So I'm going to talk just a little bit tonight about something God's been talking to me about, and if we could turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1, and you can remain seated. I'm just going to read Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Actually, I forgot one more photo. When I arrived in Japan, I looked out the window, and I saw Mount Fuji. And I said, "Jason, I want to climb Mount Fuji." That was one of the dumbest things I have ever said. He said, "Corey, are you sure? It's really miserable. Like, it's a horrible, horrible time." And I said, "No, I want to say that I've been to the tallest point in Japan. That's a big thing." And he said, "Okay, well, we're going to have to start preparing. It is not an easy thing. I mean, we had to buy equipment. We had to be ready to go." So probably one of the most miserable days, but we did make it to the top of Mount Fuji last month, and it's how many? 3,776 meters, which is 12,000 feet. And there's a proverb in Japan that says, "The wise man climbs Mount Fuji once, and the fool climbs it twice." And I'm not saying anything, but Jason has climbed it 5 times. So I don't know. But it was a wonderful experience. We got to go to the top, and I told Jason, I said, "We cannot leave the top of this mountain without praying for Japan being at the toppest point in that nation." And we just know that God is with us, that He's working in Japan, and you are a part of what God is doing in that nation. And so glad I got to say I've been there and hope I never have to do it again. So I think it took us 12 hours altogether, 8 hours to the summit, and 4 hours to get down. So it was a lot of fun. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. We serve a big God, a mighty God, that if we start to think about how big He is, how amazing He is, how big the universe is, we start to feel a little bit small in our own humanity. But this is what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 26. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than them? And what Jesus is telling us is that the God we serve knows every single detail about our lives. And even though in his own right, he doesn't even have to acknowledge us in our humanity, the Bible tells us that we are at the forefront of his attention. Talking about school earlier, does anyone know what my worst subject in school was? Oh, she knows. It wasn't math. It was science. Really bad in science. I think it was the only class I failed or almost failed in college. And I've really struggled with science over the years, chemistry, physics, all of those things. But about 10 years ago, I listened to a sermon, which I think I've shared here before by Louis Giglio, about how big our God is, how amazing our God is. And I wanted to share a few things from that tonight. Because once we start to think about how big God is, our problems in life, they start to seem a little bit smaller. And so I want to talk this evening just about four stars, the ones that I had learned about 10 years ago that still make me think about the majesty of God. And Brother Mark can help me if I get any of it wrong. I probably will. But again, it was my worst subject in school, so you can forgive me of that. But I want to start off by talking about the only star in our solar system. What is it? The sun. If you want to go to this picture, it's a picture of our sun, of our solar system, in our solar system. The sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, very hot. In fact, we have to be 93 million miles away from the sun just to exist here today. Any closer, and we would not be able to handle its heat. It is a million times bigger than the Earth itself. A million times bigger than the Earth itself. In Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Meaning that God spoke, and this came into existence. I mean, that's a big, big planet, big star, not planet, star. And I begin to think about it, you know, they sing that song, "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are." And those stars are huge, and they are hot, and really hard to even fathom. But he uses something as an example, and it's really helped put a few things in perspective for me. So, I'm going to use an illustration tonight. I'm going to get it out here. It's a golf ball. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. So, could I get two helpers? Anyone want to help? Devin, Easton, you look like you got two crushes. Devin, you want to help? Yay! Mason, I want you guys, you all know how to use a tape measure, right? Okay, I want you to start here, and I'll have you, Mason, go over all the way over there and get to 15 feet. He can, he got it. I know. Yep, 15? 15 feet. So, if the Earth is the size of a golf ball, the sun in diameter is this. Pretty amazing, right? Somewhere you're on this. Shows a little perspective of just how big our God is. And the Bible says that he breathed and the host of heaven came forth. It's amazing. Thank you. You can put it back together, or put it back in there. But that's not even the biggest star that they found. The Hubble telescope gives us images of stars far, far away in other galaxies. And the second star is called Betelgeuse, or Betelgeuse, and it's 427 light years away. And so this is Betelgeuse. I'll go with Betelgeuse. And it's not just twice the size of the sun, it's twice the size as the Earth's orbit around the sun. Meaning everything, the whole orbit around the sun, it's twice the Earth's orbit around the sun. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of 12 space needles stacked on top of each other. Anybody ever seen the space needle? You go to the space needle, you got a golf ball, and imagine 12 space needles stacked on top of each other. This is the Earth, and that is Betelgeuse. Unbelievable, right? Huge. You could fit 262 trillion Earths inside Betelgeuse. Incredible. It's hard for us even to comprehend. That is enough golf balls to fill up the Superdome. Does anyone know the Superdome? I believe it's in Louisiana. You could fill up the Superdome 3,000 times with golf balls. But again, not even the largest star. There's another star. It's called Musifi. And it's 3,000 light years away, and it's big. It's big. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, Musifi would be the width of two Golden Gate bridges lined up next to each other. Anybody ever seen the Golden Gate Bridge? Two of them, almost 2 miles long. The Earth is this golf ball, and Musifi is the size, respectively, as two Golden Gate bridges lined up next to each other. You could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of this one star. Now, I don't even know how big quadrillion is. That's kind of a big number. But he gave this example to help us kind of understand how big a quadrillion is. So a million is a thousand, or a billion is, oh, hey, what was he saying? Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Oh, 1 times 10 to the 15th power. Not 100%. Math was my second worst subject. So, my second worst. But a million seconds ago, so do we think about this? A million seconds ago was 12 days ago. A million seconds ago, 12 days ago. How long ago do you think a billion seconds was? Any guesses? 3.5 years? Okay. 1,200 days? Any other guesses? It would be, I believe, April of 1992 is a billion seconds ago. April of 1992. A trillion seconds ago. Any guesses? Jesus' birth. Okay, good, good guess. A trillion seconds ago was 29,700 B.C., 29,700 BC was a trillion seconds ago. A quadrillion seconds ago? Anybody want to give a guess? A quadrillion seconds ago was 30,800,000 years ago, is a quadrillion. 30,800,000 years ago was a quadrillion seconds ago. And you can fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths in this one star. Amazing. But there's an even bigger star. And I believe, I could be wrong, it is the biggest star that we have found to date. We, I mean them, whoever found it, the Hubble Space Telescope. It is Canis Majoris. And if you want to go to that next photo, this is Canis Majoris. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. Now, maybe only Pastor Knowles is the only one here tonight who's been to Kathmandu, Nepal. But if the Earth were the size of a golf ball, this star, respectively, would be the height of Mount Everest. Almost 6 miles above sea level and the highest point on our planet, you could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside this one star. And that's enough golf balls to fill the entire state of Texas 22 inches deep in golf balls. Do you see the one that you're on? You know, I find one of the reasons why I have been so amazed and this lesson on the planets has stuck with me for so long is all of a sudden I start to feel very, very small. And I start to realize just how big our God is. The Bible says that he just breathed out these stars. And you know what the Bible says? It says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We live on the most important planet in God's eyes, and we are his most important creation, made in his image. And the reason why it stands out to me so much is the God who created this earth, created all the heavens, all the universe. He cares about the details of my life, and he cares about the details of your life. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 31, this is what he says. He says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father's say so. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." And I started to think about, I thought, you know, why does it comfort us so much that God's eye is on the sparrow? Why does it give us so much comfort? Because he watches us, exactly, to know that not one sparrow falls to the ground without his say-so means that whatever situation you're dealing with right now in life, that God knows where you're at, knows what you're going through, and he can handle it. He can handle it. You look at these stars and you think, wow, maybe I shouldn't have been counseling God so much about that situation. Maybe, just maybe, he knows what's going on. And you know, that is really where we stand in our walk with God and our faith with God, is really the Bible's. He's so clear how much he wants our faith, how much he wants our devotion, how much he wants us to know how much he cares for us. It just so happens I have one more little object. It's a little sparrow replica. And, you know, I got this on Amazon. And it's supposed to be a replica of size of the common house sparrow. And the house sparrow is native to Israel. It is one of the most, or if not the most, common bird in the world. It is native to every continent except for Antarctica. And you know what? Probably within the next couple days, you might see one. But I began to think about it. I thought, not one of these little birds falls to the ground without our Father saying so. Not one. He knows everything that's taking place in this universe right now. And he cares about us. He cares about this little sparrow. We are of much more value than this little sparrow. Do you want to touch it? Do you want to hold it? You can pass it around if you want. And it's one of the smallest birds on the planet. So there you go. We are of more value than the sparrow. When I was growing up, my mom used to play a song. I don't remember who recorded it. Lionel Harris, his eye is on the sparrow. And it says, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, When songs give place to singing, or when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him, for he cares, from care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The Lord is watching you, watching over you, your situations, your family. And, you know, again, it sounds like such a fundamental principle of our faith. Yes, he sees the sparrow, but what he's trying to let us know is that we are of so much more value than those little sparrows, and that he cares about our daily lives, what's going on in our lives, how we're living our lives. He cares about all of those things. The very hairs on your head are numbered. Your very DNA, he knows it all. And it's just been on my heart and on my mind these past few months where, you know, we've been in a foreign country, been on our own, and I just remind myself, this little bird that I found on Amazon Japan is sitting on my mantle to remind me his eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on me. Even though he has this amazing universe that we can't even fathom, the Bible is so clear that his attention, his purpose, his will, it is all focused on us. What a privilege. What an incredible life that we live with a God who cares about us, who gave his life for us, who thinks about us constantly. And I don't know who this is for, but I hope that it encourages you tonight that his eye is on the sparrow, and even though he is far above anything we could ever think or imagine or even comprehend, he cares so much about us. So much about our lives. Is there a situation in your life tonight that you could give to the Lord and say, God, I know that you are watching over me, and I know that you have this circumstance in your hand, so I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to give it to you, Lord, and know that not one sparrow falls from the tree without your knowledge and without your say-so. Why don't we all stand tonight? I know it's a very short word. I know it's very succinct, but I really feel like this is for someone tonight and something that I just could not get away from talking about. And so maybe we could just spend a couple minutes talking to the Lord, knowing that he cares about us, that if you begin to talk to him, he will listen and he will answer. I truly believe that if we just began to talk to him more, we would see his glory revealed in our daily lives so much more. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the comfort of the word of God, the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, which is our comforter. God, I believe that this word this evening, God, is for someone here tonight, Lord, who needs to know that you are watching over them, that the situations that they are dealing with right now, God, it might be something very personal. It might be something just in their everyday life, God, that they really need to surrender to you, to give to you. Maybe a situation in their job, a situation at their school, a situation in their family, God. We know, Lord, that you are watching over us, God. I have seen it time and time again that you have watched over me, that every time I bring a need to you, you have answered it, Lord. You have comforted me. You have helped me, that I don't need to fear. I don't need to worry, but I can walk in the knowledge that my God fights for me, that my God knows exactly what's going on in my life. Lord Jesus, we honor you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty goodness, for your mighty power in our lives, Lord. And we just once again, God, we surrender ourselves to you, all of our thoughts, all of our intents, our purposes, Lord. We just give them to you in the comfort and the knowledge that you will take care of us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, we give him all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know it's a bit short and sweet tonight, but we'd love to be able to chat with you and say hello to you. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.